And we know that holiness is being set apart. And when I think of the kingdom and the message that it brings a place of separation. Because you can't be in the kingdom and be in the world. And so separation automatically comes when you begin to set your eyes on the kingdom and your mind begins to transform and your actions begin to look different and your behavior changes because you're now kingdom-minded and you're following kingdom principles and you begin to have a greater understanding of who God is and who you are in his kingdom. And so God has been putting on my heart for a couple of months about this change and this transformation because we are living in dark times, church. And if you are paying attention, and I'm not just talking about politics, you can just look at your local news or you can just go into the grocery store or go into a public school and you can see that things are changing and it's not necessarily changing for the better, but things are getting darker and we are called to be the light. And so there's a mandate upon us to be the light where there's darkness. And everywhere we go, we can find darkness. But the ideal and the impression that the Lord is putting on my heart is, are you representing the light? Are you walking past darkness? Are you ignoring it? Or are you being the light in which I have called you to be, says God? And so with me, I'm like, oh man, this is another thing I have to do. I'm just being honest. That's how I feel automatically. And I want my heart to be different. You know, my desire is when God begins to put that pressure or have those conversations with me, that my heart is, Lord, I want to be the light. I want to be the light wherever I go. I want to represent you. I don't want to make up excuses. I don't want to say that I'm busy or that I don't have any time, but I want to be the light that you've called me to be. And so he's brought me back. And this, you know, being in the kingdom of God, it's probably a foundational principle. And he's brought me back to this foundational principle of who I am in the kingdom and how I am to respond in the kingdom. And I'm excited that we are talking about holiness because it puts a mandate on me and on us because we have to be separate. We have to have that intimate time with the Father in order to understand all that he has for us. Begin to live a life, a kingdom life, every single day. For him to be on our mind and be a part of all of our decisions. And that's who he's called us to be. And the only way that we're going to be the light is if we spend time with him. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to open up with Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we all know that John, he set the stage for Jesus. He prepared the Jewish people for the coming of the Messiah. And basically, his message to them was, listen, this is my interpretation. Listen. You guys aren't going to make it in just because of your ancestors. But you have to repent. In order to make it into the kingdom, you have to repent. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so John begins to preach this message of repentance and preach this message of the kingdom. And later on in those chapters, we find that Jesus comes on the scene and he's being baptized by John. And in verse 17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What this tells us is that Jesus has now been established and confirmed as the son of God. And he is the king in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And then the next chapter in Matthew chapter 4, it says that the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. In verse 11, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And Jesus at that moment began to preach the message of repentance, for the kingdom is at hand. Let's pray. Father, this morning I declare an anointing to rest upon us as we listen to the good news being preached. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the gospel is a true testimony of your love about a kingdom, a king, and his children. And Lord, I pray that your spirit will fill this room with your presence, that you would give us understanding of your word, that you would give us an ear to hear your voice, and that you would open any blind eyes, Father. Use this message to bring forth truth and clarity, and where there is confusion, Father, I pray for divine revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this my water? Oh, it felt like it was open for a second. I'm sorry. So the kingdom that John preached to prepare the Jews and that Jesus spoke of, I took a class at RSBI, and it was the kingdom of God. And this is where I was transformed. And so this is, Pastor Jeff did not tell me to say this, but it just so happened. I'm just putting a plug in because it was at this time where I learned about the true meaning of what the kingdom was, because at that time, I just always thought anytime you saw the word kingdom in the Bible that it meant was talking about heaven. And so I took this course and I received a definition of the kingdom that I was just like, oh, I didn't know that. And so I encourage you, I don't care how long you've been saved, there's things that you don't know. And RSBI is a great place to gain understanding, because I'm going to talk about understanding later, but it's the more that you know, the better that you are in the kingdom. But the kingdom is the governmental rule and reign or influence of heaven invading earth. And it's a message. And it's not really, well, in this context, the scriptures that I'm using, we're not talking about heaven. We're talking about the ruling and reigning of God's authority in heaven invading earth. That's powerful. And so it's very important that we begin to understand that, because in order for us to exercise the power and authority, we have to understand where it comes from. And we have to know that this is a principle that has been set up and designed by God from the very beginning. And so it's about having access to this kingdom. Us as people, as body of believers, as men and women, as children, as teenagers, we have access into this kingdom. And therefore, we can call those things and pull those things from heaven and invade earth with it. That's how we re-represent Christ, because that's what he did. When he came and he began to preach this message, we began to see different things. The way that he spoke, it was different. You know, the Bible talks about, they say, oh, where did he come from? His teaching is different. They hadn't heard it before because his teaching came directly from heaven. Amen. And then he performed miracles and signs and wonders, and they had never seen this before. Why? Because it came directly from heaven. When Jesus walked the earth, he began to invade the earth. He began to bring heaven down to earth. And that's why this principle is so important. And this is why we have to understand it, because it's our duty and it's our responsibility to demonstrate heaven's goodness on earth. Amen. Amen. And so when we understand the kingdom, we understand that God is supreme and that Jesus is king. And there's two principles that I want to talk about today. And the first one is that the kingdom equips man to rule the earth. That's the first principle. To understand the kingdom, we understand that we were designed by God to bring those things from heaven to earth. And we see that in the life of Jesus' teachings, like I just said. And I just wrote down a couple of things. I mean, we know that he was the greatest preacher, teacher, pastor, whatever you want to call him. He was the greatest. He was the best. Amen. Prophet. He was the best. And so I just pulled a couple of sermons that he talked about and messages that he brought to earth when he began to preach this message of the kingdom. And it is, we get the Beatitudes. We get us conversation about us being the salt and light of the earth, which is us being an influence. Amen? we get him talking about adultery starting in the heart, not just about the physical adultery or the act of sin of adultery, but adultery starting in the heart. Nobody was talking about that. Jesus talked about that. Marriage being sacred and loving your enemies. Loving your enemies? That is a message only from heaven. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us not to worry and to just serve one God. And there are so many messages that he had, and these are all kingdom messages, and the messages are designed to equip us, each one of us, of how we are to live on earth and how we're going to rule the earth by living according to what he said that we ought to do. And then we see the other thing is of the kingdom is it takes what is invisible and makes it visible. Taking what is invisible and makes it visible. And we see that again in the Gospels when we hear about Jesus and how he healed. He heals the leper. He raises the dead. He gives sight to the blind. He casts out demons. Miracle after miracle. This is what the kingdom looks like. This is the kingdom message that I'm talking about. It's not about going to heaven. It's not about living your life, coming to church every single Sunday, and then leaving and then dying and saying, oh, I made it to heaven. Thank God. That is not the kingdom message. The message is bringing heaven to earth and letting God shine through you and by his power and by his authority and by his name, you walk in miracles and you also do have signs and wonders all around you. So it's bringing the invisible and making it visible. When Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," we understand that the disciples and many people missed it because they were thinking that he was talking about making a kingdom on earth. Just like I missed it, you know, I was probably just gonna be like, "Okay, I'm gonna die and go to heaven," and yeah, I made it through the kingdom. But no. And I pray today that we don't miss it, that you guys don't miss it. Because when we talk about holiness, it's being set apart. We're different from the world, not only physically, but spiritually. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, this isn't a message about prosperity. But it's a message about prosperity. Because you can't be in the kingdom and not prosper. It just doesn't happen. There's like certain things that I'm sure of. And those are one of the things that I'm sure of, is you can't be in the kingdom and not prosper. Because in the kingdom, there's nothing but prosperous things. God has everything that is good for you. And in the kingdom, and when you begin to live your life accordingly to the principles that he commands us to live, and you follow after him, and you seek after him, and you put the kingdom first, you can't help but to prosper. He blesses you. And I talked about it before, and everybody remembers. He pours his favor upon you, and you walk in that favor. And so you can't help but to grow and prosper. And so I'm not preaching prosperity, but I'm preaching prosperity, because that's what the kingdom does. It prospers you. And I heard this teaching about this particular scripture, and I wanted to share it because it really challenged me. And it talks about the verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And the word "seek," we know, it's a verb. And a verb is an action. I remember back in grade school, you know, you had, verbs, action, adjectives, description. Well, verb is an action. That means you got to do something. That means you're going to be moving. There's going to be some kind of ing at the end of it or whatever, right? You're going to be doing something. And so the word, when we look at the word "seek," we think about you're looking for something, ing, looking. right? You're going to be, if you've lost something and you're seeking after it, you're going to be doing something to find it. Whether it's retracking your step or remembering where you was before, you're going to be looking for it. But this message that I heard brought a deeper understanding of the word seek, and I just wanted to share it today. And it says, to seek means to pursue. Now, let me just put in the word pursue. But pursue first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things should be added to you. Pursue means to go after it. Go after the kingdom of God. To seek means to desire to know. But desire to know first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Desire to know. Think about him. Think about the kingdom morning and night. When you desire something, that's the only thing that you can think of. It consumes you. Have a desire for the kingdom first. Let it consume your every thought. Let every decision that you make, you consult the kingdom first. You listen to the king first and see what he had to say about this issue. To seek means to have passion. Have passion for the kingdom. But have passion for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. To have passion means you never give up. You never quit. And finally, to seek means to diligently dedicate yourself to something. I love that one. Diligently dedicate yourself to the kingdom. It puts a whole new meaning on the word seek. Amen? And when you diligently dedicate yourself to the kingdom, you discipline yourself so that nothing can become between you and the kingdom. I don't care what happens in your life. Nothing comes between you and the kingdom. I don't care what you're walking through. Nothing comes between you and the kingdom when you begin to diligently dedicate yourself to the kingdom. And so what does that look like? It looks like, to me, it looks like that when we're seeking after the kingdom, we're looking for ways to keep our life in order. And so we got issues with our marriage, seek the kingdom. The Bible is full of information about your marriage and how to handle it. Right? You got financial issues, seek the kingdom. You got enemies, seek the kingdom. And when you need healing, we all need healing every now and then. Seek the kingdom. Everything that we need in life, answers are found when we seek the kingdom. But one of the biggest problems that I see and that I'm learning is in our lives is as believers is our lack of understanding. And when I read the Gospels and I see some of the issues that the disciples had as they walked and talked and lived with Jesus. And so I used to get frustrated and be like, come on, guys. Y'all ain't got it by now. But I see that there's a lack of understanding. And how often do we have a lack of understanding? And so I don't get mad at the disciples anymore. Because I understand. I used to think, well, yeah, he was Jesus. You was with Jesus, like, oh my gosh, like, why are y'all missing it? But I don't think like that. I don't judge them anymore. In Matthew chapter 13, we know, and we've studied this many a times about the parable of the sower. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there's just some key points that I wanted to get a pull from this because it talks about what happens when we don't have understanding. And in in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, we find that the disciples is asking Jesus, why does he always talk in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And I've shared this before, and I recently shared it when I spoke on Wednesday night, that God wants to reveal secrets and mysteries to us. And revelation comes when we spend time with him. Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. And holiness is about that intimate time in the relationships where secrets are revealed. And so we can go through this whole life and have, I don't even know if you would call it a decent life, but if we're not spending time with him, we're going to be clueless. We're going to lack understanding. Because the secrets and the mysteries that he wants to pour out on us only comes through that time set apart. It only comes through that intimacy that we have with him. And so that's the first thing that I wanted to pull out is Jesus is saying in this parable that, listen, I got some things I got to tell you about life, about your family, about your marriage, about your health, about your finances. You can put whatever you want in that blank, and Jesus has something to say about it. Right. And so, but it's gonna come when we take that time and set apart our time to spend with him. And the second takeaway from this chapter is in verse 19, and it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatch away what is sown in his heart. So here we are again with the word understanding. There's something about when you understand that the enemy cannot possess. And I had a quote, here it is. I heard a pastor say, the moment you understand, the devil loses control over your life. The moment, I gotta read that again for those that are taking notes. The moment you understand, the devil loses control over your life. So the moment that you understand that you're not a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness, the devil loses control over your life. The moment that you understand that you were bought with a price and that your body honors God, the devil loses control over your life. The moment that you understand that he will restore your health and heal all your wounds, the devil loses control over your life. So understanding is something that God has for us, and we understand by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of times as believers, we're so focused on what the enemy kind of like snatches away from us, whether it's our health, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our finances, and we look and say, oh, the enemy did this, and the enemy did this, and the enemy. The bottom line is what the enemy is really taking away is your understanding. Because when you begin to understand what the scriptures say about your body and your health, healing comes. Yeah. When you understand what the scriptures say of how we ought to raise our children, we see the fruit of prayer. I have to just testify for a quick second. My son, the kids are away at camp, and my boys, only my boys went. And so Elijah called me up, but he called me up from little Larry's phone. So it was about 10 o'clock last night. And he called me up really excited. Now, Elijah, he only gets excited about, like, PlayStation. Nothing really gets him that hot. And so it's like 10, a little after 10, and I was awake, but I'm answering the phone. I'm like, hello? And like I said, it was little Larry's phone, and I hear, Mom, Mom, I got to tell you what happened. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, God is awesome. God is awesome. I was like, it sounded like Elijah, but it's little Larry's phone in my brain for a second. So I was like, who is this? Because I know Elijah, like, we're not getting V-Bucks or nothing. So what's happening here? And he was just like, it's Elijah. And I was like, oh, what happened? And he was just like, I just had an encounter with God, and I didn't know it was for me. Amen. And he's just like, Hope prayed for me, and I got laid out in the spirit, and God just, I never knew that that could happen to me. And so I was so excited, and I was just like, oh my gosh, Elijah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God, you're amazing. And he was like, all right, I just had to tell you that real quick. I got to go. And he hangs up. What he said was, I didn't know that it was for me. I didn't know that I can experience God in that way for me. I've seen it in other people, but now God has touched my heart. And I'm so thankful because before they left, I prayed and I said, God, I pray that they would encounter you. God is so faithful that he heard and he answered not only my prayer, but Elijah's prayer. I had a chance to get an experience. I remember the first time that I encountered God for myself. And I know all of you remember the first time that you encountered God for yourself. And you're here because it transformed your life. And so what the enemy is after is your understanding. And so when you lack understanding, you give the enemy room to come in and to snatch and steal whatever it is that he can take. And trust and believe he's going to take what he can take. He's not going to leave nothing for you. He will remove everything that you have because you lack understanding. And so the Bible tells us in all our getting, get understanding. All of our getting, get understanding. Because there's something about when we understand what the word says, when we do what the word says, when we live according to what the word says to do, there's something that happens that the devil can't take. It's when we stand our ground and we see that in other people's lives. We see it sometimes in our own lives. Those things that we are rooted and grounded in and we can't move, the enemy can't take. And so in John, I don't think you guys have this, but in John chapter 16, verse 17, it says, Jesus says, it's better that I go away, for if I don't, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. The helper is the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And he helps us understand. In John chapter 16, verse 13, regarding the Holy Spirit, it says, he will guide you in all truth, and he will not speak in his own authority, but in what he hears, he will tell you all things to come. Once again, we see that the Holy Spirit can only speak what God tells him to speak. The Holy Spirit cannot lie to you. The Holy Spirit can only teach and guide you and bring understanding and bring truth into your life. And the other thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do is he's going to reveal those mysteries, those secrets that I talked about before. Because God does not want to leave you clueless. He doesn't want to leave you in the dark. He doesn't want you walking around with a lack of understanding. He doesn't want you confused. He doesn't want you ignorant. But he wants you walking in truth. He wants you walking in an understanding and a knowledge of who he is and who he created you to be. God has big plans for your lives. He has big plans for our lives. He's called us to take dominion over the earth. He's called us to influence the earth. And he didn't call us to sit in this church. He didn't call us to sit in the corner in our house. He didn't call us to just be confined to our own little family. He called us to the world. Amen. And so it's time as believers as we take our rightful position in the kingdom. You see, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Man was created by God to rule the earth. That's why we were created. That's why we're here. That's why we have purpose, each one of us. This is why we're preaching and teaching about holiness, about that separation time to spend with him. This is why on Wednesday nights we're speaking about the gifts, because he's equipped each one of us with gifts to use for his kingdom, to use for his glory. God's plan has always been for his children to rule the earth on his behalf. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, pray this, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected. And in Matthew 28, 18, it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in John 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. We're nothing without him. And I don't know everyone here, but if you're walking without him, I'm sorry to say, but you're nothing. We're all nothing without him. We may think that we're something, but we're not. We are what we are because of him. And it's only because of his grace, because of his love, because he forgives us, where we can be where we are today. But without him, we're nothing. God's authority is recognized on earth by man when his children obey his word. The kingdom is about his kingship and our obedience to his rule. This is how we respond. We respond as a people by obeying. And I want to just get ready to close with the last scripture of Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. And it says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, it shall be loose in heaven. God has given each one of us the keys. We have the keys to the kingdom. We have access to the throne room. Because he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. And the moment that he died and he rose from the dead, those keys have been transformed to each one of us, that we may have access into his kingdom, have access to this throne room, have access to his rule and reign, that we may call heaven down here on earth, and that we re-represent Jesus in the life that he lived. Like I said in the beginning, church, times are getting darker, but it's not a time to run away. It's not a time to back down or be afraid of the cares and the things of this world. He's equipped us. He's equipped us. And we have to believe that we're equipped to do the things that he's called us to do. He has a purpose, and no one here is excluded from that purpose. He has a plan. I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what your background is. Doesn't matter what your past may look like. It doesn't even matter where you are at this moment. His purpose still remains. You have breath in your life, your lungs. We sang that song. That song, it reminds me of when I had COVID. I had COVID, y'all. And I couldn't breathe. And I would take a shower just to try to get the steam to, like, open up my lungs. And it was a time where I was, like, kind of weak. And I started singing that song, It's Your Breath in My Lungs. And I'm telling you, I could feel God just, I don't know, what do you do, expand my lungs or whatever? But I could just feel the air just coming through. And I remember even Mariah's here and Grace is here. I'm like, I'm a shower singer. And I'm in the shower and I'm belting it out as loud as I can because I didn't want nothing to stop me from praising my God. Yeah. It was the praise of God and his breath that filled my lungs that gave me, that made me okay to know, like, all right, I'm going to be okay. And so I want to just say that it's not a time to back down, but it's a time to step up. It's a time to move forward. It's a time to grow in him because there is purpose. There's power. There's authority that awaits for us in his kingdom. And this is our proper place. We're not called to be anything less. Nothing less. And the thing that challenged me the most is in this message is, I'm like, God, I'm sorry, but I'm living below your expectations. And I had those moments in my life where I'm just like, I know there's more. And I'm telling you today that there is more. Wherever you are, there's more. Because he's God, and he's powerful, and he's a big God, and he doesn't do things little. He does things big. He does things grand. He multiplies. And so we have to understand that there's always more. There's always more that we can do. And I'm not just saying about being busy, but I'm talking about that intimacy. That's where we need to grow in more. It's not more work. It's not more programs or more, I don't know, Bible studies. And I'm not saying this stuff is bad. But I'm saying for us, it's intimacy. It's more intimacy. It's more prayer. It's more fasting. It's more seeking his word. It's more reading his word. It's more understanding of his word. Because that's where transformation comes. That's where the Holy Spirit meets us and speaks. That's where mysteries are revealed. That's where the power of love fills us and consumes us in a way that we can never imagine. So I just want to encourage all of you to get with God. Get more time with him. If you have to set your alarm earlier, do it. If you have to go to bed earlier, do it. Whatever it is that you have to do to allow him to have more access into your heart and into your mind, do it. Because this is where he needs us. We are embarking on being a part of the greatest revival in history. Amen. I'm telling you, this is our time. This is our time. And we're going to infiltrate. And we're going to influence. And we're going to shift and change the culture of this world. But it's only going to come. It's only going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only going to come when we're on our knees before him. It's only going to come when we can stand boldly and confidently and knowing who we are in him. He's entrusted us with his word. He's entrusted us with this gift. And he's put the responsibility of us to call heaven onto earth. And so we have to fulfill the obligation that God has put on us. And we do it with open arms because he's such a loving God and he takes such good care of his children. We lack nothing because of him. And so I just want you guys to stand up with me this morning.